a very, very good morning to you all and a very happy Easter to you all. It's a glorious day out there, absolutely lovely. Let's hope it lasts and it's not just for the morning. There will be tea and coffee at the close of the service this morning, and you're all very, very welcome to join us if you go out that door there and straight across into the large hall. You'll get your tea or your coffee through there. There will also be communion today, and there will be a retiring offering in aid of the Church Fabric Fund. And if you don't have money with you and you'd like to donate to that, then next week we'll do. We'll keep it open for a couple of weeks, okay? Contributions to the Kirkgate Messenger should be given to Elizabeth today, please. And the Kirk session meets on Thursday, the 11th of April at 7 o'clock. And reports should be sent to me by Thursday of this week, please, Thursday the 4th of April. We're having another ragbag collection, which will be uplifted on the 23rd of April. And there's some black bags out in the vestibule out there if you would like to take one and fill it with things that you no longer require. That would be great. So if you bring your things along closer to the date, it would be good. Okay, thank you. There'll be a quiz night and a light supper on Friday the 26th of April at 7:30. Tickets are £6 and they're available from any of the fundraising team. It's always a popular event and tends to sell out quite quickly. So if you would like to go, Friday the 26th of April at 7:30. I said last week, Guilds Together North Ayrshire are collecting items to send to Ekwendeni Hospital in Malawi. Donations of paracetamol, ibuprofen, plasters, bandages, as well as knitted blankets would be most acceptable. And if you want any more information, speak to myself or to Chrissy. The collection won't be going away until the end of the month, the beginning of May. We'll be taking it to a meeting that we're going to, so any time before then would be good. And lastly, a caution that parking wardens are now patrolling the streets and you're advised not to park on the double yellow lines in Chapel Well Street. Okay. I know that when we arrived, which was quite early this morning, there were already no spaces outside. We went round and went into the car park just to be safe. Okay, so you've been warned.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to be with you, and especially those who are online as well. I said something online this morning, and a friend and a member of our church said, I will be watching from Lossiemouth. So, David, we are delighted to have you and many others. I know that some have told me from Spain, and others in Germany, let alone many other places all over the world are watching the service this morning. So delighted. So good also to see Brian. We are so delighted you're back all the way from Linlithgow. Well done. Well done. And also so delighted to see a friend from all the way from Cape Town. And I'm going to ask her to just wave. If you want to know anything about Cape Town, please feel free to speak to Catherine, our friend who is now based in Glasgow. And I know that my young brother would say, oh, what about me? Evans, we are so delighted to have you as well. It's so much of a delight. And today, like many other days, we praise God together. But a special thanks I would like to give. I was actually counting when Vivian was busy doing announcements. I was counting how many Sundays we have had with Graham. And actually it turned out to be 27 Sundays. And while less, most of you would want to applaud Graham. I thought I was speaking English. Am I speaking English? Why less you are tempted to applaud for Graham. And then you're applauding Graham. They do say, behind every great man is what? Is another. So Sarah and the kids, we're so delighted, you know, for the work you've been doing. Every time, you know, now and then I would look at Graham and thought, oh, he's much smarter than I am. And I know that Sarah would have done a lot, and the kids as well. So we're so delighted, and it's been a great time for me, and most of you have attested to that. And I think I'm not a typical person to do the goodbyes, but I've told Graham, he has been warned, so his heart is going like that, because I said to him, you know, you can't say you've been attached with people and you've been learning. He's just been saying, I've been learning. So I said to him, well, at some point in the service, we're going to have a question and answer section. So in order not to spoil things, when the kids go to Sunday school and are back just before communion, we're going to have that section of question and answer to check Graham up. But we're so delighted we have been part of your journey and in the ministry with you. The Lord bless you, and we will come to a time of prayer towards the end of the service. But for now, you are leading us. Over to you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to see that door's not locked at the back for the question and answer session. That's where I'll be during that nice surprise. Happy Easter. Let's join together in our call to worship. Christ is risen. God's love endures. Death has lost its sting. Rejoice in the day of salvation. God's love endures forever. Let's sing together in a moment hymn number 410, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. And this includes the word hallelujah. And traditionally, hallelujah was something you couldn't say until Easter Day. So hallelujah. Let's sing hymn 410.
Thank you.
Vivian is now going to lead us in our prayers of adoration and praise.
God of power and love, we give you thanks that you raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the grave, that you caused his tomb to be empty, that you gave hope by your presence. We thank you that the powers of evil, which seemed to overcome all light and goodness and love on Friday, were overcome on this day, defeated in your Son's rising. We thank you that in Christ's rising, we have hope for life before and beyond death, inspiration for our lives as witnesses to your grace, comfort for pain, and faith in place of fear. We thank you for every sign of resurrection we sense by your Spirit, in nature as the seasons slowly turn, with emerging signs of spring all around us, in society as kingdom makes its way, in our lives as anxieties give way to peace. Help us to take time to appreciate the beauty of our world and the care and love of our friends and family. Help us to love others as we would wish to be loved and to rejoice on this glorious Easter day. And now we continue to pray together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning to you, and I'm always pleased to have my son accompany the prayers as well. I always think that's a good thing. I don't think he liked them, Vivian, I'm sorry. I enjoyed it greatly. Well, it's Easter, and I'm going to need possibly two volunteers if I could get them. I knew I'd get a volunteer there. Fantastic. Can I get another volunteer? Go on. If you hadn't volunteered on my last talking, Brian, I'd have been upset. So a little disclaimer just at the start here for any of the adults who are in charge of younger people, watch out for any allergens or any kind of allergies. So we know that at Easter time, a lot of Easter can be to do with Easter eggs. So you see sort of Easter eggs. And so this morning, I want to think about the Easter story. And I want to think about the Easter story for our younger people through snacks. So we're going to think about the Easter story through some snacks. Now, Easter is about Jesus. And it's about Jesus coming up from the dead. And Jesus did some amazing things in his life. When Jesus came into the world, a dove came down. Don't worry, we're not going to eat a dove as a snack. We're okay. And God said that Jesus was his beloved son. In fact, you could potentially say that Jesus was the apple of God's eye. So our first little snack to think of is an apple. So for my helpers here, could you take a couple of apples and could you give them out to the younger people who are in? And I think there is someone who's in the middle who's young-ish, and we'll count you as young for the purposes of snacks. So there's a couple over there, and there's someone just in the middle over there. Trying to take a couple and go over that direction. Oh, and you can have a nice floor apple there. That's good. That's a good one. So you could say, if we're thinking about Easter time with snacks, You could say that Jesus was the apple of God's eye, and he should be the apple of our eye as well. One of the amazing things about Jesus is that he had many, many different phrases that we can remember today. And even if you don't go to church, some of us will remember those phrases. And one of the amazing things that Jesus talked about around us is that we should go out and we should try and get people to know a little bit about Jesus. And he used a phrase for that. He said that we should be fishers of men. So, I just need the one of you for this one. Do you want to go for it? So there are some fish in there. If you want to go and give some fish out to the smaller children and the older kids as well, and let them take a few. Whilst we're going round with those, I will disappoint the adults as we think about food and snacks and Jesus. And I'll tell you that we are not going to talk about water into wine this morning. So that's not a snack that we're going to get. Many people were unhappy with Jesus. He did many things that turned society on its head. He talked about the least being the most important. He talked about people who were poor having a special place in God's heart. And he turned things on his head. And the religious leaders were so unhappy with him, they put Jesus to death on Good Friday, which is the Friday just passed. But something amazing happened. On this morning, on Sunday morning, Jesus was risen from the tomb. And you might see lots of Easter eggs at this time of year. And we see lots of Easter eggs because of that idea of the stone being rolled away. And so you see eggs. So what we've got now to give out to the children are some boiled eggs. Do you want to go for those ones? Excellent, thank you very much. So some nice boiled eggs for you to have, some good protein. Two down there, and then someone in the middle, and then two over there. Those eggs have come to represent Easter in lots of ways, but it's important to remember that behind the egg is that idea of the stone being rolled away. Excellent stuff. Just in the middle over there, we've got some. Fantastic, thank you. But it's not just that Jesus comes back to life. So our story isn't just about Jesus coming back to life. There's a particular cause behind that. So Jesus came back to life and he took all the things that we've done wrong. So he's taken all the things that we've done wrong and he has made us clear of those things that have gone wrong. And I think we could go for the adults as well. Go for it for any adults that, I think we're there already, but that sounds good. So any adults can go for it as well. But our sins, it says in the Bible, are made white as snow if we believe in Jesus. So all the things that we do wrong, and we all do things wrong from time to time, all those things are made white as snow. So our last little snack to go around thinking of Easter through snacks are white marshmallows. I'll go for you this time. Thank you so much. To show that our sins have been made white as snow. And I'll just let those go around just now. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So if you've not already tasted those snacks as a little person, then you can go for it now. And I'm sure those of you who are running the Sunday school are now cursing me because they're all full of sugar. And that's going to, I can see some hatred coming over to the front here. Eggs, snacks, thank you so much. Let's have a wee round of applause for our volunteers there. You can head back to your seats. Thank you so much. Eggs, snacks, that could be the message of Easter. We could make it something as small as that. Go and eat some chocolate. But the real message of Easter, as we know sitting here today, is that you are loved and precious in God's eyes. For our young people, that's especially important. As you go up through life, things can sometimes get a bit tricky and sometimes get a little bit difficult. But one really important message to remember, particularly if you're young, is that God loves you. And if ever there comes a time when you're not in church and you're feeling that there's a hard time for you, remember that God's arms are open wide for you to come back to Him. And that is the true message of Easter. One little thought for the adults. I've done the children's address, I noticed, more than absolutely anything else. And then the Easter story, of course, we know that Peter betrays Jesus. When Peter comes back to Jesus after the resurrection, Jesus asks him if he loves him. And the first thing that he says to Peter is, "Look after my lambs. Look after my lambs." And that could be seen as a whole bunch of different things, but to me, I see it as the importance of looking after our children in our congregations, that they are precious and never an inconvenience, even when they're making noise. They are precious in God's eyes. Let's join together now and let's sing our next hymn, which is 194, "This is the Day Before the Children Go Out." As the children go out, the offering will now be uplifted. Let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. On this Easter day, we ask for your blessings, Lord, on our offerings to you. We know that our offerings of time and of money cannot buy your love for us. That love is already freely given when we enter into a relationship with you. We know that our offerings of time and money can't buy us an easier life. But we know from the message of Easter that you walk beside us in the good times and in the bad nonetheless. We know that our offerings of time and money can't buy status and they can't buy honour. But you already honour us through the gift of your Son, Jesus, nonetheless. This Easter, we offer up not only the time and talents that we have, but also the burdens that we struggle to bear. The burdens of anxiety and depression, which can cripple us on a daily basis. The burdens of our health failing us. The burdens of our worries of our family members who struggle with illnesses and difficulties. We know that we can come to you on Easter and on every day to hand over those burdens for you to walk with us. We ask for your companionship on Easter Sunday and on every day, Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading today is Luke 24, and it's verses 1 to 9, and Fiona is our reader this morning.
Reading comes under the title of the Resurrection. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, carrying the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the entrance to the tomb. So they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They stood there puzzled about this, when suddenly two men in bright shining clothes stood by them. Full of fear, the women bowed down to the ground, as the men said to them, "Why are you looking among the dead for one who is alive? He is not here. He has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men, be crucified, and 3 days later rise to life." Then the women remembered his words, returned from the tomb, and told all these things to the 11 disciples and all the rest. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading from his own holy word.
Let's join together, and we're going to sing from Mission Praise this time, and it's 1213, O Church Arise. So that's from Mission Praise, 1213, O Church Arise.
Thank you.
morning like no other is the title of my sermon this morning. A morning like no other. And I think when you look at how beautiful our morning is, it's a morning like very rare mornings we have in Scotland. The Bible has a lot to say about mornings. And I just want to bring some of these to your mind as we talk about this morning like no other. You know, we are told throughout the Bible that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prayed every morning. He prayed every morning. If you go back in the Old Testament, you read about Joshua. And Joshua is pictured as a man who rose up early in the morning. Perhaps maybe go back to Genesis 22. On that morning when Abraham rose up early and took Isaac to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. It was a morning. What a morning it was for Jacob when he woke up from sleep and set up a pillar of stones in honor of God at Bethel. It was in the morning when he did that. And I want you to imagine, it must have been a glorious morning when Daniel saw the rays of sunshine lit up the city of Babylon after that night in the lion's den. Can you imagine when morning came for Daniel as he saw the sun rise up and he had spent the night with the lions? Imagine how beautiful the morning was for the disciples after they spent that morning, terrible night in fact, in the Sea of Galilee. And when that morning came, when they had toiled all night, and of course we know that our Lord and Savior had reached out to save them. Well, every morning of these different stories I've quoted, I've brought to your mind are great mornings. None of them can compare to the morning that we have read about in this passage. I mean, I must confess, I am a morning person. And one of the things that I have had to do this week when I was preparing for this sermon was to check how many mornings I have heard. And not to sell out my age, but you'll be proud to know I have heard more than, and I didn't say only, but I said more than 14,000 mornings. Isn't that great? Some of you here have heard perhaps less or even more. But this morning we spent some few moments reflecting on this morning our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. No wonder I say this morning, what a morning we had and we witnessed. And you know what? Every Sunday morning, we think and reflect as a church of a morning like no other we have in the resurrection of Jesus. So I want to share a few observations from that special morning. And of course, I'm not only looking at the verses that we have read, but I'm looking from different places as well, but focusing, of course, to start with where we read. It was a morning of thinking, reflecting. And as the morning began on the first day of the week, after Jesus had died on the cross, some women came to the tomb to finish preparing his body for burial, or what they had to do to anoint his body. While these women were heading to the tomb, our Lord Disciples, on the other hand, they are locked up inside the upper room, trembling in fear. They are thinking, perhaps we might die the same way our Lord has died. They are thinking to themselves, what if nothing works out? What if we don't make it? What if they come for me? I could imagine Peter saying, what if they come to me? And on the other hand, we see women. For us, we are reflecting on these events now. Certainly, these women were sad. And of course, we have seen the disciples are scared. So there's sadness. There's people who are afraid. The question is, why were they so upset, the women? And why were the disciples so much in fear? Well, his followers were deeply upset because they all believed Jesus was the Messiah. And they had placed their faith in him. They had hoped that he was going to establish his kingdom and free them from the Roman oppression. And of course, despite Jesus telling them of his death and resurrection, they failed to fully understand it, to fully comprehend it. The same way today, every Easter Sunday, people will say to each other, Happy Easter. But it won't be long before we forget. No wonder why this morning was so special. It's so special to us to reflect. So they were thinking to themselves, with Jesus now dead, what is going to become of us? They were demoralized and they were despondent and they were defeated in essence. Their hopes were dashed. His sudden death left them grieving the loss of someone they loved. And yet, they forgot that all this was to show the power that he possessed. And as we reflect on the sadness of the disciples and of course their fear that their Messiah is gone, you later on in Paul's letters, we actually get to even hear Paul speak about Jesus. He tells us that if Jesus is dead today, then we all have a reason to grieve. And I think we are not sad, are we? We are happy. That's why we say Happy Easter to one another. But do we ever reflect on what it means for us? So it was a morning of deep reflection. And I hope in 2024 you can still reflect on the story of Jesus this way. So not only was it a morning for us to think about in 2024, but it was also a morning of shocking revelation. In the midst of their sadness that morning, God the Father took great pains to minister to the needs of all people, many people. I'm sure many of us will be glad with this one thing, to know that we have a Father who cares about our needs. Aren't you glad that God cares about you, about your needs, and about your hurts and disappointments? And I think you see in this particular passage, in many other passages, how he moved in several mighty ways to encourage the hearts of those who were sad and those who were disappointed. And I'm going to just bring few of these to mind. The very first one is this. He rolled the stone away from the tomb. It was God who did that. And I think many people think, oh, it was good. He had to roll it out so that Jesus can come out. I think I might have said this before. The stone was not rolled for Jesus to come out, and I think you can attest to that from many passages of Scripture. It was rolled so that it allows the women and other disciples to actually come and witness for themselves. If it was closed, they would not have had access. But it was rolled to allow the followers in to see for themselves, to witness for themselves. So that's not only the only thing that God did. He also sent angelic messengers with the good news that Jesus was alive from the dead. Do you see? We are told in the passage, the angels speaking to them, he's not here, he's alive. It's as if our world in 2024, we don't hear this. Do we hear it? In case we've not heard it, let me proclaim it again. He is not dead. He is alive. In case the world have missed it, when you go back home today and they ask you, what was church about today? You tell them and you remind them that he is not dead. He is alive. And I think that message of him being alive is what's missing in our world today. Was that it? He had to encourage poor Peter, who was feeling so bad. Oh, I had disappointed him. I had disappointed him. And I think some of us sitting here today, Sunday after Sunday, we tremble and we are tempted to think and beat ourselves and say, I've not done enough this week, Lord. I want to do more. Here is the comfort. The resurrected Messiah comes to encourage those who have failed. And that reminder to some degree is to say, it's not about your works. It's not what you can do or what you have done. Come to me. I think you might remember from last year I preached on the John version of the resurrection. He met Mary Magdalene outside the tomb. She had great love. You remember how she was clinging to him, and Jesus had to say, go back and tell my brothers. And I think today maybe the excitement would be, yeah, now I get it, Nigel. I've been reminded. Thanks for reminding me. And maybe the temptation would be for you to say, wow, that's good for me. But it doesn't end there. You have got to go and tell others of this good news. Here's something else. You know, he left a message for those who were to come. Do you know the message? The message was this. I'm not here. When the women went in, we are told they found the cloth that they had used to wrap around Jesus. That's a sign. That's evidence for them. That's a message for them. That's a message for us. Do you see? Even when I was trying to think, because we normally have a cross here, but if you go outside, on your way out, you see an empty cross. Empty cross, empty tomb. He's not there. And I think it's an incredible picture. If you and I were to be going into the tomb to find those clothes lying there, what a powerful message. And of course, we know that in Luke 24, on the road, he revealed himself to his disciples. Further on, if you read 13 to 35, on the road to Emmaus, we call it Emmaus, is the correct pronunciation. And you remember how he walked with those two on the road, and they had no idea. And he started to open scripture to them. He cared enough to comfort them. He cared enough to remind them. And it didn't make sense. And then only until he started to break bread, and you know that I love imagining things, and I think as he was breaking the bread, raising his hands, then all of a sudden they saw that it is the Messiah, because they could see his hands. We know that Thomas doubted, and we love that story, don't we? But he even went as far as giving assurance. And you will hear messages after messages in the next few weeks about the reflection of how Jesus cared enough about his people. There were many other things I could have talked about that morning, about that resurrection morning, that marked it as a great day. And for us, 2,000 years plus, we still need to hear the good news. He is alive. For you who is struggling to be good and struggling to show Jesus what you can do, hear this lovely message. He is alive. I love the Bible. In Revelation 1:18, this is almost like what God, through Jesus, is declaring. He says this in verse 18. I am the living one. I was dead, but now I'm alive forever and ever. I have authority over death and the world of the dead. This is God. Thank God for the proof that Jesus is alive. There is a song people sing. I'm not a good singer, but perhaps some of these words would resonate well with some of you. It says this. I remembered the tune this morning, but I've lost it. I serve a risen Savior, is the song. He is in the world today, it says. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see him. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know. How I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Go check out that song. Another thing is about this day. It was a morning of stunning realizations. And while the disciples were trembling in the upper room out of fear of their lives, something miraculous, out of nowhere, Jesus, the one who had died 3 days before, was standing in their midst. From nowhere. Do you see now? This helps us to see that he didn't need that tomb closed or opened to be with them, but he was in their midst. Further on, if you continue reading, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Peace be unto you." Do you see a sense of this day and how this day was a morning like no other? Jesus is alive. He is real. And that is the only hope we have for heaven. And this day is about Jesus. It is about the fact that he died for our sins and we are set free. Now, one of the most amazing things going back to the life of Jesus. At some point, Jesus posed a question to his disciples. And the question was, What about you? What do you say I am? And I think I want to pose that question. We know that Peter had the right answer. You remember that? He said something about, you are the Son of God. The question to you this morning, as we reflect on this morning, do you have the right answer? If Jesus was to ask you, who do you say I am? Would you answer, well, do you have the right answer? And I think as you think about that question, let me remind you of this. Death was defeated. Hell was defeated. The grave was defeated. Sin was defeated. Do you understand it yet? Well, maybe let me go further. Because he lives, you and I can be saved by the grace of God. Because he lives, we can have our sins washed away forever. Because he lives, we can go to heaven when we leave this world. Because he lives, the grave has no power over those who are, in our eyes, dead. Because he lives, I will never have to take a step in the world alone. He goes with us. There's much more I could have said. I love saying more. What a morning it was when Jesus rose again. Have you come to that realization yet, to see that it's not just a story? It is real. And he is alive. He cares for you and I. We sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We're going to sing our next hymn, which says, "Oh, heaven declares."
Let's join together in our prayers for self and others. Let's pray. And today's prayers are inspired by Kathy Galloway. Lord Jesus, we are always looking for you in the wrong places. We're looking for you among respectable and good people, when we know that you are more easily found amongst the poor, the disreputable, and the outcast. Lord Jesus, we are always looking for you at a safe distance, keeping our lives at arm's length from you. But you come so close to us, nearer than breathing. Lord Jesus, we look for you in the churchy items, the pews and the altars, when we should know that you are more easily found in the everyday and the mundane, which becomes holy ground. Even now at Easter, we look for you in the tombs and the graves, when you are risen and are so alive in this world today. Lord Jesus, today, here and now, help us to lay down the grave clothes in our own lives. Roll away the stone from the tombs in our own lives. Accept you and your offer of life to the full. Lord Jesus, remind us today and every day that we will find you among the living souls in this world here and now, that there is no darkness we can't enter which is not blasted away with your healing light. In a moment's silence, we remember all the people and situations that are on our minds today, this Easter. For all these situations, we pray, these situations are given into your hands. Amen.
Thank you, Graham. So I want to invite Graham to stand. It's that time when we do a question and answer section. So Graham, you've been with us for more than 27 weeks. We really want to thank you for sharing. Personally, I want to thank you for sharing alongside with me. There's always this notion among students, and I've been a student before, and I think it's always said that, you know, when they are placed in a particular church, they say, oh, I'm only a student. And one of the things that I've said to Graham is, you know what, it's a privilege to actually be able to serve. And the fact that you have been here with us, or you are here with us, in the beginning I told him this. I said, what if this is your best shot? What if this is the ministry that you've been allowed to do by God? And then maybe when you just think I'm done with my studies, then tarara, it's time to go to heaven. So, you know, I just as I've said before, I want to say to you, you have served alongside with us and served God's people. Continue doing that. In case the only opportunity you get is to serve, even as a student, that would go a long way. For us, it didn't feel like we have someone studying alongside ministering. You have been used by God, and do as such in your next placement, and even as you serve in different roles, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. So I want to invite you all to pray for Graham and his family. I just stretch your hands from wherever you are. We're praying for blessings upon blessings for him and for his ministry. I don't believe, you know, you need to study and then only when you are ready, then you serve. You've seen it for yourself. Some of you, I know you've already said, well, we could get you, Niger, to go to school and keep Graham. So that's how much you have made impact here. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for Graham, Sarah, Harris, and Lucy. We pray a special blessing upon them. You have given them to us for the past 27 weeks, and we are grateful and we give you thanks for that. Thank you for the ways in which Graham has served your people, your church, this community, in ways best known by you and to you. And we pray that Almighty God, as he moves to another place, to start with going back to his own church to serve, we pray that Almighty God, you continue to anoint him and to bless him and to use him to preach the gospel in and out of season. And even as he continues with his studies, we pray that Almighty God, you make your face to shine upon him and be gracious to him. Bless his family and all the things, all the books that he still needs to read, because life continues and we continue to study to make ourselves worthy before you. All this we pray for and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question, you can take your seat. The question I would have asked Graham, because he just kept looking out which door he should run away through. So I decided not to. But the question I was going to ask him was, if you were to be asked, what is one thing you could do for your minister, what could it be? And this was going to be a question not so much for you, but for people who are here and people who are everywhere else listening. Because sometimes we take for granted the fact that even a minister is a person. So I would have used that, but he has assured me that no, Nigel, not now. So please, the question I have still asked you, and when people are having tea, they will be coming one at a time. 30 seconds, answer them, please. Friends, we are invited to the table of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus has gone from the tomb. At this table, we celebrate resurrection in the company with the women who went to anoint his body. Amazed, terrified, stunned into silence, here we realize the story. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen and feasts with us here as we remember him. There's a place at this table for you who are frightened. There's a place at this table for you who are weary. There's a place at this table for you who have no voice. There's a place at this table for you. Take your place and meet the risen Christ. Our Thursday service retold the institution of this sacrament. So I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common use to this holy use and mystery. How Jesus, we heard on Thursday, on that night he was betrayed, gathered friends around him to share the Passover meal, and after supper, he took bread, broke it, blessed it, and shared it with them, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He also took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new relationship made possible because of my death. Drink this in remembrance of me." Jesus instituted this remembrance before he was betrayed, before he was denied, before he was abandoned by his very friends and killed by the people he cared about. We celebrate because he rose again, demonstrating that God's love is greater than evil and God's grace brings forgiveness for all. So we think about that as we sing together our hymn 19, "Ye Gates, Lift Up Your Heads on High." Let's draw near to God in prayer. God, here in this sacrament instituted by Jesus before his death, we celebrate all that confounds death and evil that stalks our world. We celebrate love, forgiveness, and grace. We celebrate good news that cannot be silenced up, stories that overcome terror. We celebrate Jesus, his birth, his life, his death and resurrection. We celebrate all that he taught and all that he modeled in his living and dying. As we look in despair at the evil that continues to pursue our world, may we be hopeful, fearlessly, hopeful that love continues to have the last word and that there will always be good news, good stories to be told in every time of darkness and hopelessness. God, we pray for victims of terror, for those who mourn, for those who are homeless, for those forced to flee their lives. Give us compassion and willingness to meet others in generosity of spirit, sharing all that we have and being open to receive all that others bring to our lives, sharing our common humanity as children whom God has called beloved. At this table, O God, as we greet Jesus, risen and going on ahead for us, may we be anxious not only to remember him, but to follow him into the world. Send your spirit on us and on this bread and this wine, that as we share this feast, we may also share Christ's breath of life and of peace, which we receive now through the blessing that you give. In Jesus' name, amen. So on the night he was betrayed, when he had given thanks, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Eat in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This is a new covenant sealed in my blood." I think we always hear this whenever you eat this bread and drink this wine. We proclaim the death and the resurrection of Jesus until he comes again. So today we proclaim once again the body of Christ broken for us. Test and see that the Lord is good. The body of Christ, the blood of Jesus, shed for you. Take it in remembrance of him. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for feeding us. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for being with us today and many days to come. We pray that as we witness to your resurrection, you may use us in ways that are beyond us. All this we pray for and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing our last closing hymn, I would like to ask our session clerk, on behalf of our congregation, she has something to say and to present.
I've not written anything down. Graham has been a part of the congregation from the first day that he came. He has joined wholeheartedly in everything that we've done. He's come along. I think he's gone way above and beyond what he has to do. In addition, he's got all his studying to do. And I think sometimes it's easy to forget that bit, that he's also got studying. He's also got his own family to care for and look after in the background. We have already given Graham a software package for his computer, which I know he'll be able to use. He's using it already in his ministry in the years to come. Graham, this small token is for you, and it comes with best wishes that God will stay with you and bless you.
Our closing hymn is 419, Thine Be the Glory. Please remember, we have coffee and chatting through that door into the hall. 419.
Thank you.
Christ is risen. Christ has spoken. Christ has called us to bring good news of healing and forgiveness. Go in peace and feel the presence of the risen Christ with you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you to give you peace today and always.